Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
Welcome back to the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. I don't know about you guys, but JMU put out a clinic on at Chapel Hill. And I don't know, for all these different changes with organization and what channel things are coming on, like, I need a whiteboard so I know which channels to tune into so I can watch college football at the appropriate time on the appropriate channel. Because since the Big Ten is now the Big 18 network and CBS and Fox, and like, I don't know who where anything is, you know, so maybe it will take a year. I'll figure it out eventually. But really what I've seen is the teams that have run the most and make second half adjustments have been able to close out the games this week. And that was the same as last week too. Surprise, surprise, surprise. If you run the ball well, you may actually win the game. But all that being said, we still had some pretty competitive contests going into this week. What's up, Trash Talkers? Welcome back to the College Football Roundtable. Or if you prefer, you can still call it Ring Knocker Radio. I'm your host, Rob, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We've got Dano E. Cabeza out of Coastal Connecticut. And we've got Trigger Joe coming from the home of the big house. He's got the link, so hopefully he'll pop in. And joining us today also from the As for Football team is James from Brigade Review. So, how are we doing, guys? What games did you watch this weekend? And let's break down this past week of action.
So, as you know, I was at the Army game, which made it pretty tough to catch any of the other action, really. And even the Navy game, for whatever reason, wasn't on Sirius XM, or if it was, I couldn't find it on my freaking app. So, they were only Power 4 games on the stupid app. So, I was sitting there listening to College Football Blitz on the way home. Got home in time to catch the last 5 minutes of Memphis actually booting the game, and then I watched the first half of Tennessee at Oklahoma and saw that the Vols just beat Oklahoma senseless. I don't think the scoreboard really reflected how dominant the Vols were in that game. Surprisingly defensive minded contest. I would have definitely taken the over just on a blind over under challenge, but they it was like 25-15 or something.
Yeah,
so a little subdued.
Pretty
considering they're both running the spread hurry up.
Yeah, that was there's a lot of punts in there, you know, and I think it's just because like the defenses were slightly better, so it made for a much more interesting contest. James, how about you? Did you get any game watching in this weekend?
Oh yeah. First of all, are you not following Trig Draws on Twitter?
No,
apparently I'm not.
I hate to promote a non-sponsor, but this is a must for any college football fan. Trig Tango Romeo India Golf Draws, like drawing a picture. He does a graphic every week with every single football game that's on TV, all of the streaming, where to find it. You just save it to your phone, and then when you're figuring out what games are on, you just look on your picture. But that aside, I watched obviously the Army game. I watched the Navy game. A couple of screens going, so I had Michigan versus Southern Cal on, which I think the stat out of that one was that there have been three times in the last 4 years that a team has passed for fewer than 40 yards and won the game. Once was Army, once was Navy, and once was Michigan against Southern Cal yesterday or on Saturday. Watched a little bit of that of Tennessee Oklahoma game, and then saw NIU shortly after beating Notre Dame go and lose to Buffalo in overtime.
Oh, I saw that. That's amazing.
And then Toledo after beating Mississippi State senseless down in was that Starkville? They then turned around and lost to Western Kentucky on the road. So college football, it's probably good for the American to have the big upset teams from the other conference losing immediately afterwards. So hey. I'll take it. But yeah, good weekend of college football.
Yeah, for sure. So of course I watched Army handle business against Rice. Watched JMU. Like the upside is it wasn't at home because I think they would have ran out of streamers and confetti if they would have been playing down at their place because they completely rolled UNC. I saw a headline today that Mack Brown actually went into the locker room, and this kind of alludes to the discussion that we're going to have a little bit later. But Mack Brown went into the locker room and asked his players, like, hey, do I need to keep coaching this team, or like, what's going on here? Because it can't just be, you know, the coaching staff. Like, when you get, you know, I don't know, that gross, just horrible football play as a basketball score. Like, if I saw, you know, JMU versus UNC 70-50, that's basketball score, respectable. That was a football game, folks. Michigan's defense kept it close. Man, again, they took a page out of Army's book. You know, I'm going to run all over you and get that one last stop that I need. And that's exactly what happened against the USC game. And here's the real question. So I watched Colorado. First thing, if you're a Colorado fan or if you're watching the Buffaloes play and you are rooting for them, get a boatload of antacid because they're taking over as the cardiac kids this season. And Shador Sanders, unbelievable. Travis Hunter, unbelievable. The rest of the team is like riding a roller coaster watching those guys play football. And the question is, will they piece enough wins together to make it to a bowl? I mean, they didn't come close last year. I think they have opportunity in the Big 12 just because the teams are not as competitive. But that's kind of what I'm watching right now. And speaking of watching, you should be watching real estate prices if you need to buy a house. And so I'm going to roll right into the next commercial. And we have a sponsor here at As For Football. If you're PCSing to the Fort Liberty area, we have the realtor for you. That's Jocelyn Bradley. Jocelyn is a veteran who spent her career in Army logistics, and she discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream homes when they're in the market, and she provides exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn also has an extended network of veteran realtors who can support you even if you're moving somewhere else in the country. So if you're in the market for a home, Jocelyn should be your first call. She's decided to support us here at Ask for Football. And again, as always, we always note this. This is how the West Point Network works. We're putting you in touch with somebody that you can trust and can help you get to the home of your dreams. And so if you are looking to buy a home or even refinance or find a market for you to house flip, contact Jocelyn and she will point you in the right direction. And that's really where we're at. So again, Jocelyn Bradley, realtor, check her out. She's got a little business card on our website. Click on the link, follow it, and she can get back to you very, very quickly. And over to James for the Service Academy standings.
All right. So starting off, Army is now 3-0. They beat Rice. It was 28-0 at halftime. Rice outscored Army 14-9 in the second half. Army pulled a lot of their starters because on Thursday of this week, they'll take on Temple on the road in the link. It'll be 7:30 kick on ESPN. ESPN, Army's almost a 2-touchdown favorite. They opened up at as a 10-point favorite up to 13.5 now. So quickly moving in Army's direction. Temple did have a win against Utah State this past weekend, but I don't think the bettors are respecting Temple after what Navy did to them a couple of weeks ago. Navy, with the upset of the week in the American Conference, punched Memphis in the face early, got up fast. Interesting game. You know, if you had told me last week before the game that Navy was going to beat Memphis, how'd they do it? I would have said, man, they really just controlled the clock. Memphis didn't get the ball a lot. They made a couple of mistakes, and Navy eked out a close one in the end with a lot of ball control. Memphis controlled the ball for 35 minutes. Navy's points per drive was through the roof. Memphis, by the end of the game, Navy really wasn't stopping Memphis. There was one drive that Navy stopped Memphis where there was a DPI that was missed, and then there was that freak interception at the end when they were in desperation mode. But other than that, Navy's defense was kind of smoked by the end. Memphis, on the other hand, seemed to be working. But Memphis just had absolutely no solution for Navy's run game. This felt a lot like watching Wake Forest Army a couple years ago, where Wake Forest just said, I don't care about defending the triple option. We're just going to outscore you. It felt a little bit like that was Memphis's game plan going in, and then they couldn't outscore Navy because Navy had a few long runs and scored a lot of points per drive. So textbook definition. I don't know if you want to get into it now, guys, or later, but some of this time of possession stuff is just it's such an overrated stat sometimes. I mean, Navy had the ball for 25 minutes and they hung 57 or something on Memphis. So
Well, I will reiterate what I told you privately, which is that when I watched this back, I thought I saw a lot of Brent Davis's favorite plays. You know, they're using their fullbacks a lot, using that quarterback follow. They ran the freaking toss sweep to the boundary like Davis always used to like to do, which is what made me think of the comparison. And they're rolling the QB out of the pocket for downfield throws like they used to do when they had Kelvin Hopkins there. Plus, they added that jet sweep QB dive option out of the spread and scored on that long touchdown when freaking Memphis had two players in position to make the tackle and they were both moving the wrong direction. So that was nuts. I know you don't personally like my comparison to the Brent Davis offense, but I'm telling you, this is what I thought I saw. It looked a lot to me like 2018 offense from Army, like a lot. That's what,
to me, it seemed more like a 2022 offense for Brent Davis. 2018 was a lot of 3 yards in a cloud of dust.
That's true.
2022 was a lot of let's get these linebackers and high up safeties taking one wrong step, taking a step the wrong way. With some misdirection, and then breaking off a 75-yard run like they did now, or in a 90-yard run in Horvath's case in the second half. But you're right. There's a lot of the same scheming there that, you know, a late Brent Davis would have done, late Army tenure Brent Davis would have done. One thing they're doing more than Brent Davis did is mixing up the formations. A lot of two tight ends on the same side, almost like a Harbaugh Michigan from last year, where they're just loading one side of the line and you're gonna have to figure out a way how to get five people out of the way so that you can get to the football if you're a defense.
Interesting.
Looks a little different, right? Not a gradual line like it might be at Michigan, but a little bit of that mixed in. And there are some new play calls. There's some wing T stuff in there for sure. But I do agree. At least their triple option stuff does look, I think, a lot like 2022 Brent Davis. If I'm Jeff Monken, I'm sticking one of my defensive analysts or defensive coaches like they're watching every Navy game, they're dissecting everything for every game here on, because there is something new to this that we haven't seen before.
Very cool. Thanks, James. Why don't you tell us about your favorite school, which is the Zoomies?
I don't know. I didn't know they were still playing football, in the words of the immortal Jeff Monken. They didn't play this week. They were off. They'll play Wyoming this upcoming week. They still sit at 1-2 with a lone win coming over Merrimack, FCS Merrimack. Yeah. So they got the one win.
And they eked that win out. That was four quarters of winning.
Right. Yeah. That was a tough one. So they're 1-2. They lost that Baylor game despite possessing the ball for almost 40 minutes. So there's the flip side of the time of possession battle, but they'll take on Wyoming this week. They lead the series 31-27. Cowboys are favored to win this game. Are not favored to win this game. Air Force opened as 1.5-point favorites, and now they're 3-point favorites. It should be a good game. Cowboys have been having a little bit of an off year as well, so that could be a good one.
All right, Dano, service.
SCS Academies real quick.
Yeah, so Coasties are 2-0, had a bye this week as they prepare to take on Nichols College. And ladies and gentlemen, your Merchant Marine Academy defeated Gallaudet 55-7. They remain 2-0. They close out a bye week, and then, as we noted, they're going to take on SUNY Maritime this weekend. So that's a big game. We actually spent a while talking about them at the tailgate. That's like the secret hidden service academy where you can make all the money if you're willing to spend your life on a ship.
You guys know they're not in the FCS, right?
What would they be?
They're D3.
I know that.
Yeah.
We still cover them though.
All right. yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Around the American. So American action starts this week on Thursday with Army taking on Temple. As James noted before, they're going to be playing on Thursday night on ESPN. Temple looked better last week, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to play any better this week. You know, we're going to deep dive that on the Army football show. So if you're going to be sticking with us for like the next hour and a half, wait for 30 minutes for those of you guys that are in the Firsty Club, and then we'll jump on this one. Again, they did roll Utah State, though. Like, they were close in the first half, and they just came out swinging in the second half and really tuned them up. It'll be interesting to see what version of Temple shows up and if they can maintain any type of offensive momentum against the Army football team. I still think the game of the week is UTSA at ECU, and the reason why I say that is the Pirates look good this season, even though they've dropped two back-to-back losses at home to App State and Liberty. but I think ECU is actually better than advertised than last year. And UTSA is coming off of being body slammed by University of Texas. So I think Texas is the best team in the country right now, at least on paper and visually. Like, they have two dangerous quarterbacks that you like. That is a recipe for disaster. If you're a defensive coordinator, who do I plan for? Is it going to be Arch Manning or Quinn Ewers? Either way, both of those guys are incredible athletes. And yeah, they got their work cut out for them. But UTSA coming off of that rough game, it's just going to see who makes the best adjustments after a loss. And so we'll see if ECU and UTSA is a decent matchup. Other highlights, we got Navy at UAB. That game's going to be a pick 'em for sure. The line is now 2.5 for Navy. And, you know, some people haven't clearly seen UAB's run defense. You might want to check that, the Arkansas State game or the Arkansas game. But, hey, we'll see. USF at Tulane, like, they have not been productive in the second half. They cannot close a football game to save their life. They played Bama close. They played Miami close. And then, you know, either the second half got to them and it was the talent of the depth chart, or those other teams just woke up and remembered that they were much better programs and rolled them. USF has Tulane this week. And again, we'll see if they can hang in the second half, because Tulane is usually good at finishing football contests. So good luck to the USF Bulls. And last game of the week is Tulsa at North Texas. And again, those both are, you know, right now it's kind of too early to tell if they're going to be in the driver's seat, but UNT usually habitually plays Army tough, but doesn't necessarily mean they play everybody else on their schedule that difficultly. So that being said, got a note from Joe. He's probably not going to make it since we're on early. He's got a house full of a fire team of children running around, and he's waiting for his sitter to show up. So he may not be on the show, but if he does come on, we'll give him the last word with the Blue Falcon of the week. So we're going to go ahead and jump to the AP top 10. Dano, if you want to run that now.
Yeah. So in number one, you have Texas. That's no change. They rolled Louisiana Monroe 51-3. Mississippi State next week. That is also going to be a speed bump at best. Number two is Georgia Bulldogs coming off a bye as they prepare to go to Tuscaloosa and clash with the Crimson Tide. Say that five times fast there, Rob. Got Ohio State. Buckeyes stay put as they roll over the thundering herd of Marshall 49-14. At the Spartans of Michigan State waiting in the wings. Bama's number four. They got every chance to move up with the Vols. Number five, you got Tennessee moving up one after they handled Oklahoma on the road 25-15. They apparently have a bye coming up this week. Ole Miss moves down one, which is crazy because they got punished for pummeling Georgia Southern 52-13. They have a chance to jump next week when they travel to Kentucky. At number seven, you have Miami, who probably could be a little higher after they throttled USF 50-15. You know, Cam Ward, I mean, my God, that guy, he is on fire. And yeah. I feel it for USF fans because they have played like a murderer's row this year, but they have not exactly hung tough like they did last year, for better or worse.
Yeah.
Oregon up two spots at number eight. They had the luck of being off while climbing in the polls. That's nuts. They've got UCLA in the Rose Bowl next. That's a bowl game for you. Penn State up two. Nittany Lions pummeled Kent State 56-0, and they jumped in the polls to number nine. Big test for them comes next week as the undefeated Fighting Illini of Illinois head to town. And finally, Utah comes in at number 10. The Utes are 4-0 in the top 10 after they went on the road and defeated a very tough Oklahoma State team 22-19. So your top 25 losses for the year so far, we have had 18. Number 22, Nebraska, lost in overtime to the Fighting Illini. Number 11, USC, ran into its first Big 18 defense and dropped a game to Michigan, as we discussed, 27-24. Number 23, Northern Illinois, got bumped off by Buffalo, 23-20. That's nuts. Number 15, Oklahoma, got taken down by number 6, Rocky Top. And number 12, Utah, keeps winning without Cam Rising by stopping number 14, Oklahoma State. Finally, K-State got beat down by BYU 38-9. Looks like the Cougars are for real. What are you going to do? About half of that is to be expected, but man, yeah. NIU getting bumped off by Buffalo, that's awful.
Yeah, that's just painful. So the topic this week, and I know you're a little late to the game on this one, if you haven't got a chance to think about it, James, but I know Dan's got some notes. And really, you know, after seeing that article, and I actually thought about this before I saw the article from Mac Brown about him going to the locker room and saying, hey guys, what do I got to do to get you guys to want to play to win? But which coach is about to lose their locker room? Because I think there are some coaches on the bubble, like the obvious ones are the Ofers. The other obvious ones are the programs that habitually people have looked to see success, and they're not getting there. But Dano, who do you got? Do you think that's like on the bubble, or the coaching staff has got some work to do? And you know, the Boo Birds are out because we're 4 weeks in, and some retooling has to happen. So who you got?
So there's definitely a lot of disappointed teams in the American Conference right now, and it seems like every fan base was huffing like all this bullshit all off season. We kept hearing about how good all of these teams are. And honestly, by the end of the season, they might be that good. But right now, we've seen a lot of these teams take some pretty high-profile L's. And now, here you got Army and Navy, who suddenly look like they might be the best teams in the conference. And both teams started the year just wanting to get back to a bowl game, which is nuts. You know, Tulane and especially ECU have dramatically underperformed in their out-of-conference schedule. But we talked about USF a little bit, but they, you know, they certainly don't look like the would-be Power Four team that they want to advertise themselves at. Now, Memphis did awesome when the national spotlight was on them, but then the discipline of their rushing defense fell apart, and Rice looks actively awful despite, you know, a ton of offseason promise. Like, that's a team that really has no excuses at all. So I don't know if any of those teams are going to lose the locker room, but I'd imagine it's tenuous in a couple of places right now. Like, it's crazy. And the American generally looks like it's set to miss the college football playoff despite the expansion, which is not the way they wanted to draw it up.
Yeah, for sure. James, you got thoughts on this?
As far as the last thing you said, I mean, I have no idea. Like, it'll come down to whether or not, I mean, Boise State could be poised to take it and then lose to freaking San Diego State in their championship game. And all of a sudden now the American's in, and or vice versa. So we'll see. Most of those big programs now have a loss. As far as losing the locker rooms, I don't know. To me, it's a pretty easy turnaround, right? You had a disappointing non-conference schedule. If I'm ECU, let's say, okay, I have two winnable conference games to start my slate. I got Texas San Antonio at home. I got Charlotte on the road. Win those two, I'm 2-0 in conference right away, right? That's an easy sell to a locker room. I don't think that, I mean, we're not talking about the 800-pound gorilla in the room right now. I don't think any American Conference ADs are going to be looking to make a football coaching change. They will be
football, I agree with that.
Right? Like, they just found out that, I mean, not that it was really going to happen, but they just found out that they're not losing some sort of contingent of Tulsa, Memphis, UTSA, and or South Florida, right? So the conference is staying together at least for a while. It sounds like Air Force will not be joining.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Well, and again, the problem for Air Force, like I said last week, is where are they going to put baseball? Because they're not going to be flying their baseball to Tampa or Charlotte to be playing.
Absolutely.
So, you know, what does Mountain West do? That's a, you know, that's another conversation, right? Does Mountain West go and get some Big West schools or some Summit League schools? But you know, we'll see where that goes. But I guess stability is the key here, and I don't think there's any AD that's eager to fire their coach after the season.
Yeah, for sure. It's particularly in the American. I think the American's like it's unexplored territory as far as the coaches are concerned. For me, I think every Power Four coach, with the exception of Mario Cristobal in Florida, is probably on the ropes right now because they are not looking good. Billy Napier is certainly like cleaning out his desk right now. I mean, one more loss and he's probably going to be hitting the streets. And you know, Mike Norvell, like, they tied that guy. I think he's got like a $126 million contract. So if they let him go, he's due like a $76 million payout, something absurd like that. So I don't think Florida State will punt him this season. But if you start off again like this, I mean, like, you're looking at teams that have lost, you know, multiple FBS games since last season, and it's just getting worse, you know. And not to dunk on Coach Calhoun, but I'm going to dunk on Coach Calhoun. Like, they haven't won an FBS game since before Army of last year. So we're going on almost 7 months with no wins for Air Force. And I'm okay with that. Like, make no mistake, I'm not going to, you know, not be happy that a service academy is struggling. But particularly, I don't know what's going on with all that, the understanding over there. You know, all the Mountain West talk. Yeah, you know, we're going to move to the Pac-12 or whatever. That sounds great. But at the end of the day, like, you're not going to be competitive if you move to a league that's a little bit bigger. So, you know, for Air Force, I think their work's cut out for them. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I mean, but at the end of the day, like, if Michigan or let's say a bad Big Ten team, there's Indiana goes 0-12 8 years in a row, you know, and they want to move to the American Conference, the American Conference is going to say, absolutely, because you're worth the money. And if Air Force is worth the visibility, it doesn't matter when they could have zero wins in the last 10 years. If they're getting eyeballs, they're getting eyeballs. So
yeah. Well, this is kind of like Houston. You know, they moved up from the American to the Big 12, and they're struggling now. But if money is what you care about, money is what you can, you know, earn.
Yeah, it's certainly a much bigger market. And I think that's one of the things that's going to shake up. You know, I wish, like, if we could have made all these realignment changes all in 1 year, I think it would have worked out better, you know, but I think just the implementation is a little bit difficult, because if you would have had a $20 million, you know, profit sharing cap or whatever with the universities, the 12-team playoff and all these things hitting at the same time, I think the disparity amongst the leagues would not be so great. And so I think there's a big difference between a Power Four school and, you know, a Group of Five school now. And if all these other things were implemented, you know, this year rather than next year or in the following years, I think we'd have a much clearer picture on the road ahead for college football. But I don't think we're going to hammer that out, not this season for sure, but certainly a change that can happen. And speaking of changes that can happen, if you're looking to change your mortgage lender, Dan's got the person for you. So I'm going to pass it over to him for the next
week. Oh, man, what a segue. Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending for New American Funding, sponsors this show. Friends, he is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. He is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country, offers super, super competitive rates in what has become an insane mortgage market. You know, you got rates bouncing all over the place. And now is definitely not the time to, like, go with somebody who's trying to make a buck off you. Now that interest rates look like they might be coming down for some time, now you really want to deal with somebody who cares. Somebody who's not just trying to lock you in at the highest possible rate that they can get you to sign for. And it's crazy out there, friends. And this is how the West Point Network functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at As For Football, and we're trying to help you meet the only man that you can probably trust in the mortgage game in all of America. So take that for what it's worth. Plus, Craig doesn't charge lending fees for veterans. That's a huge savings. It's like $1,300. Like, get that money. $1,300 is a lot of money. So Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending, check him out. Link's on our website. Just go to asforfootball.com, find his little business card, click on it, fill out a little questionnaire, and you'll be talking to Craig in a couple of hours. And I'm telling you, everybody, we hear nothing but good things about how good he is.
All right. Thanks, gentlemen. And we are moving on to the games of the week. So, of course, we've got Army playing Temple 7:30 p.m. for those of you guys that don't habla. On ESPN. I think that's going to be the matchup of the week for the American, but it sounds too much like homers if we talk too much about it. So we'll cover that in the Army football show. The next matchup on Friday night, believe it or not, on the 27th, you got Virginia Tech at Miami. I hope Miami or Virginia Tech has their track shoes on, because I think, like, Cam Ward is secretly outperforming most quarterbacks in college football. I think the only other guy that's having a better season is probably Shedeur Sanders, but it's because the rest of the team around them is not so great, then people are overlooking him as well. But of course, you've got the gunslinging duo in Texas as well, which is ridiculous. You got Mississippi State and Texas, speaking to them, playing on ESPN. It's going to be on ABC, ESPN, and the SEC Network, and that's an early afternoon kick on Saturday. You got Arkansas and Texas A&M in Arlington, Texas, so they'll be playing at Jerry World. You got number 15 Oklahoma at Jordan-Hare Stadium. You got to say it correctly, or the Auburn fans will get on your case. You got Kentucky at Ole Miss. We'll see if Ole Miss can continue to just throttle people with their overall offensive prowess this season. Nebraska, even though they lost, I think that's going to be a sneaky good game against the Spoilermakers. I think that'll be on the Big Ten Network. You've got NIU at NC State. Again, that I call these one out just because they're weird, because they're on the CW. Like, who would have thought the CW would show college football? Anyway, you got Navy and UAB kicking off at noon on ESPN2 or ESPNU. I think this week is the week that the American worked out the deal with ESPN to cover some of their some of the other games, and they happen to have both service academies. So if you look, usually look for the service academies on CBS Sports Network, they are not going to be there this week. Illinois at Penn State kicking off on Saturday at 7, between 7 and 7:30. They're now making windows on the schedule just because of all the wonkiness of college football. You got Liberty at App State. That should be a good contest. You got Louisville at Notre Dame. That's going to be on Peacock for those of you guys that have that awesome streaming service. UTSA at East Carolina. Charlotte at Rice. Tulsa at North Texas. You got Ohio State and Michigan State. Again, that's on Peacock. And I think the marquee matchup of the weekend is going to be Georgia and Alabama. I believe College Game Day is going to be there as well. Man,
I didn't realize that was this week, despite having read about it. I wasn't even thinking about it. That's an incredible game.
Yeah.
We'll see if Bama's really for real.
Yeah. And this is part of, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. This is part of my druthers with the new conference realignment. You're having these marquee matchups, divisional or conference matchups that are normally rivalries that are up there. Like, we want to see this one week 10, right? When someone's O's got to go. Like, yes, it's kind of early. I get it. It's new college football, so we just got to deal with it. You've got Air Force in Wyoming. They're going to be on CBS Sports Network. That one's going to be a pick 'em. You got Minnesota at Michigan. We'll see if they continue with the running game. If Alex Orji is going to be the guy, or they're going to go back to their other QB. Wisconsin at USC. That should be an interesting game because Luke Fickell is a much better defensive coach, I think. So we'll see what happens there. You got Iowa State and Houston, Oregon at UCLA, and we're wrapping the Saturday slate with Oklahoma State coming off of a loss versus Kansas State coming off of a loss, and they're going to be down in the Little Apple of Manhattan to play that football contest, so that one should be pretty good. But that said, we are going to roll into our weekly locks.
Weekly locks.
Dano, what you got this week?
I finally, and I mean finally, got into the money this week. I went 2-1. Florida at Mississippi State did not go under 56.5, which is striking to me. The Gators discovered their offense somehow and put up 45 points by themselves. Then, of course, I took Navy plus the points last week, and they won outright. Told you, suckers. And ECU at Liberty went over 54. Not as far over 54 as you might have thought, and that's because they wound up playing the game at like 2 in the morning with the extended weather delay. But, yeah, man, Liberty dropped 35 points with 4 TD passes and 191 yards rushing against a very good Pirates defense. So Liberty might be for real, friends. This week, I am again taking Navy minus the points at UAB. Two reasons. First off, Vegas is systematically undervaluing the mids because all these models bake preseason expectations in pretty heavily until a team has played 4 games. But this is only going to be the mids' 4th game, so you probably got another week where that betting value exists. Plus, UAB's passing defense is okay, but Arkansas ran the snot out of the football against them. I mean, holy cow, that rushing defense needs some work. I will also take UConn minus 4.5 at home against Buffalo. That's another team that had practically a whole new team through of free agents in the offseason that put it together seemingly at late September. Huskies are now 2-2. Forget whatever jokes you thought. They're going to finish strong this season. That's a real team. Locally, people were talking about Connecticut to the Big 12. I don't know if that's going to happen, but this UConn is better than you think they are. And finally, Texas State at Sam Houston, over 56.5. Texas State's going to put that up by themselves.
Nice. All right, so I'm going to read Joe's picks, even though he's not here. So he went 2-2 this week. He had Miami and Army easily covered. Arkansas State gets throttled, and the turncoat pick was wrong, which didn't hurt as bad as he thought because it was Michigan winning. This week he's taken another 4-pack, and he's confident to go 4-0. He said he knows that he said it last week, but have faith. Let's get into it. His first pick is going to be Michigan to cover 9 against Minnesota. Second pick is BYU plus 2 at Baylor. That's an interesting pick. It's like Liberty 3.5, minus 3.5 at App State, and Bowling Green minus 9 against Old Dominion. Wow, that's a unique pick.
That last pick. I wish he was here to discuss that one.
so he may be on the Army football show. So I sent him the link. So hopefully he'll jump in and join us, and we'll let him read the Blue Falcon of the Week on the Army football show as a special guest. All right. So
Hey, I'm back in the winning ways as well. I went 3-0 this week to get myself back over 500. South Alabama and App State went over 65, which I knew was going to happen. I said JMU would cover 10.5. I think they did slightly. Then they take the over of Ole Miss at Georgia Southern, and of course, Ole Miss crushed them. So I went 3-0 this week. Hey, I'm going to roll with the Cornhuskers. Man, they looked good against the Fighting Illini. It was just a one bad play that was the difference in that game. So I think I'm going to take the over of 50.5. I think they'll bounce back pretty well. They have a pretty prolific offense, but Purdue will put some points on the board and push it over 50.5. Take App State to cover 3.5 against Liberty. I'm going against Joe. I think the Mountaineers win big this week. Take Illinois.
Y'all are both wrong.
And then the last one is take Illinois to cover 17.5 against Penn State. I mean, the Fighting Illini are good. Somebody's got to go. You got two undefeated teams. The only advantage is I believe they're playing in Happy Valley, but that hasn't been much of a an advantage for the Nittany Lions this season because they got smacked around by Bowling Green on their home turf and almost lost it. So we'll see what happens. But those are my picks for the week. So all that being said, we will wrap the show up unless I don't think James has any picks this week. And so we're going to close the show, but I just want to plug this. If you guys are on the internet universe, I was on the Veteran Trash Talk podcast show this past weekend, and Nick texted me and said, "Hey, look, I've got a guest that dropped out." So I jumped on, and surprisingly, I was actually on the show with the former senior enlisted advisor to the chairman, Sergeant Major John Wayne Troxell was on. So it was a fun show. We got to talk about some cool stuff, talked about some issues of the day, and we were supposed to plug Ask for Football, but they were saying we want Dano on the show, so like they wouldn't let me talk too much about it. Let me get a couple cheap plugs. But looking to get both of us on the show at a later date to talk about.
It was a good opportunity, like I said, and I felt bad that I couldn't do it, but we were in the car.
Yeah, no worries. But I'm regardless of how it all turned out, it was super, super cool to sit on a panel of just so many great veterans. They also had two Air Force guys on there to celebrate the 77th birthday or departure of the Army Air Corps, the reformation into the Air Force. So we don't want to beat them up too bad. Anyway, for the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable show, I am Rob, your host in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Ikebesa calling out of Coastal Connecticut and James from Brigade Review calling out of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Thanks for joining us this week, and we will see you guys next time. Thanks.
Beat 'em.
Thanks for joining us on the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. Special thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're buying or selling, reach out to Jocelyn for expert service. If you enjoy the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/askforfootball. Your support will help keep the lights on and bring in more great content. Plus, you'll get access to exclusive perks and behind-the-scenes extras. Thanks for being a part of the Ask for Football community. Go Army, beat Navy, and we'll catch you guys next week.